Welcome back to another episode of Dark and Deadly. We're your hosts. I'm Haley.
And I'm Gina.
And happy October. We're going to switch some things up this month and include some spookier episodes. And today we're going to be sharing some of our own personal paranormal encounters and then reading some stories that we found on Paranormal Reddit.
So this is probably so much fun. This is probably going to be my favorite episode ever. I love talking about this stuff. I love talking about it.
I think that we should incorporate more paranormal stuff into our podcast. Because I think that, I mean, true crime and paranormal aren't like related really, but people who tend to be into true crime are also into paranormal, you know?
I feel like that too.
So I think it would be interesting to add some more paranormal elements to the podcast. Let us know if that's something you guys would be interested in too. And if not, you can just skip the episodes.
Right, exactly. Like, we have other ones. But speaking of paranormal, I am so late to the game, I think, on The Haunting of Hill House.
Mm-hmm.
I binge watched it, I think, in a day. I was super sick a couple weeks ago, had nothing better to do. Laid in bed and just binge watched this whole series, and it is so good and scary. I was legitimately scared at multiple parts.
Tom and I watched it too, and it's been a while since we watched it, but yeah, it was intense. And then there's the Bly Manor one too. I haven't watched that one, but
I haven't either, because it's the two twins. The twins in the Haunting of Hill House are in that, I believe.
Yeah.
And I just don't know if I could do the crossover, if I could like get separated.
Right. Did you ever watch Malignant?
No, but I need to.
Oh my God. We hated it.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, it's a
great... It was bad?
Yeah, I think so. But like, we're kind of in the minority, because when I was like looking up reviews and stuff, people have said really high praises about it, which
I don't know.
I think it was a great idea, mm-hmm. but I think they could have gone about it better where there wasn't like so much CGI type of stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I think it was overdone. I think it was a good idea. I just think it was poorly executed, but I happen to be in the minority in that opinion. And then Tom and I both like made predictions of how we thought the movie was going to go. And he's always right, mm-hmm. which he
really
knew what was going to. Yes, he will predict. Gina, we will be watching a movie for 10 minutes and he will predict everything that's going to happen.
Why did I know this about my brother?
Yeah, it's insane. And so he predicted everything. And then I had another prediction, and both of our predictions kind of were right. Like, if we combine them together, it would have been right. So, I don't know.
Wow.
You might like it. I just didn't like it.
I'll take a look. And did you watch the, now we're on a scary movie kick. Did you watch the new Conjuring?
Let me look it up. Because I have.
It's on HBO. It was on HBO.
When did it come out?
Oh, but you didn't have HBO a little bit ago. It was on HBO. When was it on there? Summer at some point. I don't think anything will ever top that first one.
Yes, I did. I think I went to the movies to see it, actually. I don't remember, but I do remember watching it.
Conjuring are my favorite movies, but I don't think anything will top it. Although, I will say there have been some pretty decent Annabelle ones.
Right. Annabelle. I think kind of that whole Annabelle. The Nun, The Conjuring, I think they're all fairly like well done movies.
Oh, yes. I love all of them. I watch them for fun. I am weird.
I know. And I like love the Scream movies and like Halloween and stuff. Like, I'm a horror movie
The gore
fan.
Gets me. The gore, really? I can't do the gore. No, Haley. So first of all, Mike Myers, the boys used to, when I was younger, the boys used to stand outside my bedroom door and sing this song about how Michael Myers was coming to kill me. When I was like 5 and 6, and then they made like had me watch Jaws, so I'm terrified of the ocean. I'm constantly like, oh my gosh, somebody's coming to kill me. It's because of my brothers.
Oh my gosh. If my mom's listening to this, sorry mom, but I like played hooky for a good like 2 or 3 days in school and just like binged watched all the Saw movies.
Ew, nope, can't do it. Give me such bad anxiety. I cannot. No.
It would now. Like, I have gotten more and more anxious throughout my years, and now I don't think I could watch them. But, like,
watch them back when we were teenagers, when they were coming out. I the gore, I can't do it. What do you know who can't do gore movies at all?
Your mom.
Your husband.
Oh, yeah.
He couldn't watch ER.
Oh, God, yeah. He just... Anything with injuries, not his... Not his thing.
No.
But anyway, we both have had quite a few paranormal experiences. So we're going to each share one of our own and then cover 3 each that we found from Reddit.
Yes. So,
do you want to go first?
Yes. Okay, so... this one is, it encapsulates like a house and a time period in my life. So there's multiple things that happened over, how long was I living there? 1.5 years-ish. So I lived at this house with my ex-boyfriend, and the house was built in like the mid 1930s. So it's an older home in Boise. And if you've been in older homes, they do like creak and groan as the house like settles and everything. But I also feel like they're haunted. Like there has to be something that's kind of just like lingering in these homes. Because I mean, there's so much history and who knows what's happened in a house. So it was my ex-boyfriend's house. He bought it, had moved in. And I always got this bad feeling from the hallway that was upstairs. So there was a like a, I don't know, rectangular living room, and from the living room you could kind of just see a crack of the back hallway, and if all the doorways were closed in the back hallway, there's no light coming in there, so it's dark, like black. And the way we had the furniture set up is that the couch was in a position where you could see that crack of the hallway, and I constantly felt, I was like, there is something that's watching me from that flipping hallway. It just felt like, do you know that feeling like there's something watching you?
Oh yeah.
Have you ever had that feeling where you're like, something is here?
Yeah.
And I cannot see.
I used to get that a lot when stuff was happening in this house when we first moved in. I would most definitely know how that is.
Right?
It's very eerie.
Yeah, and it's unsettling. It's
very uncomfortable. Yeah.
Yeah. So I always felt like that. We eventually moved the couch because I was like, this creeps me out. And I think I had just moved it one day and didn't even tell him why. It was because I was so creeped out by that little sliver of hallway. It was legitimately scary. So I was always kind of just wary. And he had the laundry room was in the basement, and then the big bedroom was in the basement too. And the basement kind of creeps me out. It was very dark. It had those small little windows that basements have. And so I was never like super settled in the house. I always kind of felt, I want to say on edge, but on edge a bit. And one day I was taking a shower in the bathrooms upstairs, and I'm just in there, and my ex-boyfriend was somewhere in the house. I don't know where he was. And like, we had 3 dogs, so there's kind of constantly noise everywhere. And I feel this pressure on the back of my head, like somebody just stroked the back of my head. And it wasn't, and I immediately was like, oh my gosh, where's my ex-boyfriend? And he knew I was kind of creeped out in the house. I was like, great, he's playing a prank on me. And I'm like, that's not funny. And I called out his name and he didn't reply. And I kind of like peeked my head out. No one's in there. Door's closed. My clothes are like against the door. I was like, oh my gosh. And so I'm calling out his name. He's not answering. And so I'm just sitting there. I have shampoo in my hair. So, and I was in the process of rinsing it out when that pressure on the back of my head. And so I'm standing under the spray and I'm trying to duplicate it. And I'm like running the water on the back of my head, putting my head fully under. And I'm like, what was that? And I was like, I feel like that was a freaking hand. I feel like I had a hand on the back of my head. And it was the creepiest feeling because Haley, I could not duplicate it with the water pressure. My ex swore to me that he was not in the house, that it wasn't him. Put your hand on the back of your head, hold it down and run it. Like, that's what it was.
Yeah, no, thank you.
It creeped me out.
I don't like
it. It creeped me out. No, and it's not fun. No. And so, you know, I told my ex, he was like, you're joking. That's not funny. And I literally think he's probably to this day still thinks I made it up. But I'm like, no, I didn't make that up. I felt a hand on the back of my head. And he was like, well, okay. And we kind of like just moved on from it. And one day we were downstairs with all the dogs. We had locked the house up for the night. I was, I think, folding laundry. He was doing something. I don't know what he was doing. So you can hear everything that happens upstairs. You can hear dogs walking. You can hear things that are being said upstairs. There was just zero sound installation from upstairs to downstairs. And so everyone's downstairs. I have the TV on and we're just kind of getting ready for bed. And all of a sudden I hear this like thack. And when I say it was loud, we both instantly were like, okay, so someone just came through a window and like boots hit the floor. Like, what was that?
And so my ex heard it too.
Oh yeah. He heard it. Dogs heard it. Everyone was like, what was that? So my ex goes upstairs. He has guns. We're from Idaho. So he took a gun upstairs with him, was looking around. And as he's upstairs, I'm like, have the TV on and the volume just goes down.
Ugh.
Like on the TV, volume just goes instantly down. And it's never done that before. So he comes back downstairs and he was like, the only thing I could see that would have made that noise is this. And he hands it to me and it's my prayer book that was seated so solidly on the bookshelves that we had in the living room. Like, there's no way that was falling off. There's no way.
Yeah.
And it's this prayer book my mom had given me, like this 30-day prayer book thing. And I was just like, oh my gosh, what is going on? And I told him about the TV and we just kind of like, we're like, that's weird. And so I don't want to give too much about him, but he's had his own paranormal experiences and has always felt like something's like happened and he fully believes in it. So it's like neither of us, this was like my first experiences with anything like this. He had already had tons of stuff happen all throughout his life. So it wasn't like too far from the realm. And I halfway was like, this is something following you. That's now on me. This is not okay. Like, kind of freaked out in general at this point. And so I got some sage. We hadn't used it yet. He wanted me to like go into the back hallway and essentially tell the ghost thing, whatever it was, like, please leave me alone. And so I did that and I felt so silly sitting in this hallway talking to essentially myself, being like, hi ghost, please leave me alone, please stop touching me. You're scaring me. This isn't okay. But it's like, it's not fun.
No.
So it's like a weird sensation. So he had a family friend that came to see his house, because you know it's a big deal. It was his first house and he bought it. And so they were in town and they came by to see the house. Well, she, and I can't remember if she's a medium or if she's a psychic, but has some kind of clairvoyance.
Right.
Some type of something ability. And so she came to the house, was so nice, so sweet, came and saw it, left, and then later called him and said, hey, I didn't want to say anything. Or he had called her to ask about like the house and She was like, I didn't want to say anything at the time. I didn't want to freak you guys out. But I did sense an older man's presence there. And it seemed like he was attached to Gina. Like she reminded him of someone.
I just and got so full body goosebumps when you said that.
Right? And it kind of made sense because all of this was happening to me.
Yeah.
Like my stuff was hitting the ground. The TV volume went off when I was downstairs and it was just me and dogs. I was touched when he wasn't around. So like it made sense. Now I'm getting goosebumps. And like, and I can like joke about it now, but I was actually pretty freaked out when like he told me that she said that. I was like, okay, this creeps me out. This man or whoever, if it was anything, was in the shower with me. I'm not okay with that. What was that?
Sorry. My child dropped his toy gun in the kitchen. But no.
Oh.
I tried to mute it and I didn't mute it in time.
That's okay. I was like, oh my gosh, Haley's ghost.
He's back.
No, please don't let that one be back. Hunter has to sleep in that room. No. So it kind of just like put things into perspective. And then my ex had gone out hunting, which he did all the time. And he was gone for the weekend and it was just me. And I'm sitting in the living room. I, of course, was an idiot and watched a ghost show knowing that I was home alone for the weekend. I had like just started getting it in a haunted house, just started getting into like true crime documentaries. It was bad. So I'm sitting in the house. I have literally every single light on in the living room, kitchen. I have the hallway light on. Everything's lit. And I'm doing dishes. I was in the kitchen doing dishes and I feel three presses on my back. Three. Like a fingertip had gone into my back. And I was like, okay, I watched some ghost stuff. I'm freaking myself out. Nothing is here. And I wish at the time I would have just prayed, but I didn't even think to like pray.
Right.
Which was dumb because I was legitimately freaked out because it was just me there. I'm a nervous Nelly as it is. And so I was like, I don't like this. I'm not comfortable. I think Klaus had, I think if I'm remembering correctly, the back door going into our unfenced in backyard. He had just broken one of the bottom panels. And like we had tape or a board up there, or maybe we had like a temporary door in that I didn't feel super secure about.
Yeah.
I can't remember, but I just felt uneasy. And my boyfriend at the time was like gone. And so I went back into the living room after I'd done dishes, was telling myself, I'm like, you're freaking yourself out for nothing. This is ridiculous. You're fine. Like going over like the self-comforting, like, you're making this up in your head. It's just because you're home alone. Like, you're fine. Keep in mind, I'm like a 23-year-old woman at this point, I think. And so I'm sitting in the living room. The couch at this point faced the bookshelves and the kitchen. You could see both of them. And I see this orb like this. And the way I like to describe it is it's like a sparkler was lit. And there's like the flecks of light that are coming off of the sparkler. And it was like that, but it was really dull. And I shit you not, I'm looking at it and the dogs are looking at it. And then it starts to like come across. And I just felt like this burst of like nervous energy. And this orb of light is just like coming across into the living room and then pacing back and forth from the kitchen dining room area to our living room, like right in front of me. And then the dogs started barking and I looked down at them and then it was gone. And it was the freakiest thing I've ever experienced before. I think I slept that night up in the living room with all the lights on, completely terrified, had all of the dogs around me, just so freaked out. And the next day or the next 2 days when my ex got home, we opened all the windows, opened all the doors and saged everything because I was done. And then I don't think we really had anything happen after that.
But yeah, that would be crazy to see an orb. Like, I've seen shadows and stuff. I've taken pictures where, like, orbs were in them. But to, like, actually see it in person would be insane.
Well, and I felt such, like, intense nervousness.
Yeah.
That I was like, are you nervous? You feel nervous. And then the pacing, and I shit you not, the dog's heads were tracking it, Haley. Uh-uh. No, and they weren't barking at it, and Sarge wasn't barking at it. So I was like, I don't feel like you're bad. Like, I don't feel like anything was done maliciously.
Right. But at still, all. It's scary because it's, you don't know.
Creepy.
Yeah.
No. I personally believe that it's stuff that he attracts.
Yeah.
And then for whatever reason, if what she said is true, that psychic, his family friend, then I just reminded Sir Ghosty of someone.
Sir Ghosty.
I never felt, I was creeped out. I was very creeped out, but it never felt like
malicious.
The Conjuring.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That
makes sense. I don't like to talk about what happened here, so that's not what I'm going to talk about today. I don't mind talking about it, but I don't like talking about it in the house because every single time I do, stuff starts happening again. So I'm going to be talking about my haunted book instead. Have I ever told you this?
Ooh, no.
Okay. So it caused a lot of weird things to happen in my life around the time. So I ordered a book by Ghost Adventures host Zach Bagans, okay? It's called Dark World. And that book had an attachment of some sort because after receiving it and, like, when I was reading it, crazy stuff started to happen to me. And
really?
Yeah, and my mom brought it up to me because I was in high school at the time. My mom brought it up to me, and we're pretty... my mom's side of the family are kind of empaths in a certain way. Like, we're not psychic or anything, but we get feelings about stuff. And she was like, I have a really bad feeling about this book. I'm like, it's just a book. Like, it's fine. So it started off pretty mellow. I would get nightmares after reading it, which obviously is to be expected when you're reading about the paranormal. But then it, like, started to get right. Worse. And I can't really remember now the context of the nightmares, but I remember they were just, like, super vivid and just terrifying. And so I stopped reading the book for a few days to give myself a break mentally and physically because I wasn't sleeping, or not sleeping well, at least. And so after I gave myself a few days, I started reading it again, and the nightmares started again, and then just, like, stuff other than nightmares started to happen. So I used to sneak my dog Gunner upstairs when my parents weren't home because they didn't want dogs on the carpet upstairs because it was brand new carpet and labs are super oily, as you know. So they didn't want the dogs on the carpet getting it all oily and stuff. And I had a full-length mirror behind my door and I would sit there and get ready in the mornings. And Gunner was laying next to me. And then I had a bookshelf that sat beside my bed, which was just on the other side of my bedroom. Mm-hmm. So Gunner was in between me and the bookshelf. So it was me at the door, Gunner, and then the bookshelf on the other side of the room. And all of a sudden, he stood up, shackles raised, and started growling at the shelf right where the book was sitting. And I tried standing up to walk over to it, but he stopped me and wouldn't let me pass by him. And then a few more seconds went by, which felt like a lot longer than seconds, but he relaxed and then walked over to the shelf and smelled right where the book was and laid back down like nothing had happened. I was so freaked out, though, at that point that I, like, went and got ready in the bathroom like a normal human being.
Yeah.
But, like, at that point, too, I was kind of intrigued and wanted to experiment that, like, this book may have some sort of attachment to it. So... because I'm crazy. I took the book to school with me the next day. And we lived out in the countryside. So I would pass by farms and cornfields and dairies all the way to school. And this is important to the story because on my way to school that morning, I had a hearse follow me. And I'm not a hearse driver, so I don't know if they just drive around for the hell of it, but there were no cemeteries and there were no funeral homes nearby, so I thought that was strange.
What?
Yeah. And
do you know my mom has a reoccurring dream of a hearse chasing her?
Really?
Yeah. Hearse dreams are common, I think.
It followed me for a while and it was like freaking me out. I mean, I'm not superstitious, but I am a little stitious. You know?
In CUNA. You're in CUNA at this point?
Yeah, Nampa and CUNA. So then, not even 5 minutes later after this hearse turns down a different road, right? I'm driving towards my school, and on the other side of the road is a man in like a large black trench coat. He looked like the Grim Reaper walking opposite side of the road towards me. I was like, I would pass by him and he'd be walking the opposite direction of where I was coming from. Mm-hmm. Okay. And mind you, it's like not cold enough outside to be wearing a trench coat, but here he was in a black long trench coat. And as I passed by him, I looked in my rearview mirror to see that he had stopped and turned around and watched me drive. Yeah. So I get to school. And the first class of the day was my newspaper class. And if we were like done reading or done editing our articles or writing or whatever, we had a little bit of downtime. So I started reading the book again because I brought it to school with me. And pretty soon after I started to read it, I got really, really nauseous to the point where like I had to go home. So I texted my mom, told her I was leaving. I left before class was even over and headed home. And on my way, a black cat walked in front of my truck as I was pulling to the neighborhood.
What?
And at that point, I was like, okay, I'm done. So I left the book in the truck and went inside the house. And a few days passed by, and I had to go pick up my mom's truck from the mechanic. So I took my friend with me so that she could drive my truck back to the house while I drove my mom's truck back. So when we get back to my house, she immediately asks, or says to me, I think your truck is haunted. And I was like, what? And she proceeded to say that the entire time she drove, she could hear whispering coming from the backseat.
What? And
that's where the book was sitting. Yeah, she had to turn the radio all the way up to drown out the voices.
Okay. I'm so creeped out. My back is to my door.
I cannot make this shit up. Like, this is... Ugh. This book was bad. Yeah. So by this time, like, I am 110% convinced that this book came with something. And I'm not dumb. Like, I know Zach Bagans probably didn't even touch the book I owned, so I'm not sure how it happened. I don't know if I subconsciously manifested this after my mom was like, ooh, I have a bad feeling about this, or I don't know. But, like, it was as real as can be. So
that's terrifying.
Yeah. And then this next experience was the last straw for me. I read the book one last time because I'm an idiot who doesn't learn. And I wake up in the middle of the night and I see a lady standing in the corner of my room. And I remember hearing like a ringing in my ears, but also what sounded like children whispering all around my room.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And the lady was gray colored from head to toe, and she was hunched over and really bony. And I mean, she had like black pits for eyes, and her hair was super long and ratty. And I get chills every time I think about this. So she slowly like walked over to my bed and climbed over my footboard and just crawled up on top of me. And then And she ended up sitting on my chest, like weighing me down. I felt like I was suffocating. So I opened my mouth to scream, and she also opened her mouth. I couldn't scream. Nothing came out of my mouth, but she screamed in my face. And yeah. And like this lasted probably for a few seconds, but it felt like hours, you know? And it's really hard to explain this part, but it almost seemed like after she stopped screaming, she turned to ash, and then she floated toward the ceiling, the same corner that she was like standing in my room, but she went up to the ceiling in like a black ashy smoke and disappeared. And after she was gone, like I hadn't been able to move this entire time. And I was able to move my fingers.
So you were full like sleep paralysis.
Yes, exactly. And it's what it's called is old hag syndrome, which I think it would be really interesting to do an entire episode on old hag syndrome and sleep paralysis, because it's fairly common. And I had it when I was a little kid too, but it was a different creature, I guess you could say, that came to my room. But yeah, and then like once I woke up out of it, I saw it was like 3 a.m. And that was the last time that I ever read the book again. Okay, so I was so mentally drained and in a very dark place at that point. Like when you are chasing the paranormal and stuff like that and it gets dark, like it puts you in a very dark place.
Right.
And I mean, at that, I was chasing some paranormal high and it left me feeling incredibly empty. So I vowed to not deal with the book anymore. I put it in my closet in like a purposeful place so that I could see it every single day and remind myself of the experiences I had so I wouldn't open it again. And a year or so later, I tried to find it again and it was nowhere to be found. I tore
Did your mind throw it away?
Oh, just you wait. I tore my entire closet apart and could not find it, okay? Fast forward to after high school, I was moved out. Me and Tom were married. Hunter was born. My parents were moving out of that house, and I still had some stuff left over in my room from when I had moved out. And my mom's sister and I had gone to dinner one time, and I had brought up the book for whatever reason and how it was missing and what happened. So my mom gets a really funny look on her face, and she told me that it was just sitting on the shelf in the closet when they had cleaned out my room in the exact same spot that I had left it. And when she saw it, she still had weird feelings about it, so they got rid of it.
But wait, so you couldn't find it, but then your mom found it.
Yep, and it was sitting in the exact same spot that I left it.
Did you throw it away?
Yeah, she got rid of it. I can't remember if she just like threw it away or burned it. I can't remember.
But she you burned that.
Right?
Douse in some holy water and burn it. Oh my gosh, Haley.
Isn't that crazy? Like that is the one of the most unexplainable and crazy things that have happened to me personally. And yeah, I mean, sleep paralysis is no joke. And
no.
Like, we'll get in more into depth in if we do an episode on it, but most people think, like, it's scientifically related, like, how you fall asleep and whatnot. But in my personal opinion, I think if you're chasing after the paranormal and you are vulnerable, I think that the, like, paranormal entities, like, take advantage of that and, like, sneak into your sleep paralysis stuff. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yep, so, fully.
That's my story.
Holy crap, that's creepy.
Yeah.
I feel so creeped out having my back turned to the door. I keep turning around. I'm just like sitting there. The dogs would tell me.
Yeah.
Ugh, creepy. Creepy, creepy, creepy. Okay. Are you ready for mine?
Yes, your first
my next one.
So excited.
So this one isn't a Reddit one specifically, but okay. This is a story my brother told me about, Jay, my oldest brother, when I was 12, 13, and it has stuck with me ever since then.
Okay, exciting.
This is a real life place in Colorado, so you can go there. I don't know if it's still closed, but it's called Gold Camp Tunnels. So this is somebody's eyewitness account, witness true paranormal account of what happened to them when they went to the Gold Camp tunnels in Colorado. Okay. So Gold Camp Road, as children, we are told to stay away. As teenagers, we become curious and try to investigate. As adults, we know to be wary. I've lived in Colorado Springs my whole life, and I've always known of the secret behind Gold Camp Road. Legend has it that the third tunnel collapsed as a school bus crashed into it. Apparently, the bus driver either committed suicide or suffered from a heart attack. All the children died. The third tunnel is now fenced off. However, one can still walk up to the dark cave. These are not the only deaths that took place in those tunnels. Not to mention, many people died building these tunnels in the 1800s. Also, let's not forget that this area is surrounded by Satan worshipers. In the 1970s and 1980s, and probably still today, men are seen chanting in black robes, carrying torches as they walk up past the haunted tunnels. My father has personally witnessed this as a teenager twice, while him and his friend of his snuck up there to have a few beers on the weekends. The rituals that do take place in the area would awaken spirits and demons. In the third tunnel, the laughs and voices of children are heard, along with feeling a tugging on clothing. Tiny handprints are also found on cars parked all outside the tunnel. The second tunnel is more violently active, however. People have reported scratches, being hit, groped, voices, and possession. The figure of a man is commonly seen at the end of the tunnel. Many say that when they inspect the car afterwards, there are handprints and finger marks all over. Even on clean cars, a handprint will occasionally appear. This may seem like a scary story. However, it is truth. I've personally experienced sightings in the second tunnel, which is the most active, considering many are too afraid to travel outside of a car to venture into the third tunnel. On an average night of driving around with friends, we made the decision to check out the stories of Gold Camp for ourselves. We heard that if we were to drive into the second tunnel and turn off our lights, the car would either move, the lights would come on, or something weird would happen. There were four of us that night: Savannah, Doug, Andy, and myself. We drove into the second tunnel, turned the car, put on the e-brake. We began to joke around a little, saying how it was just a scary story to keep children away. Then we saw a figure pacing at the end of the tunnel behind the car. We watched as the figure moved closer and closer, faster and faster. Eventually, it reached the back of our car so close that we could almost make out the face of a man. His head tilted as he looked at us and set his hands on the back of the car. He was gone. We spoke of what we just saw as a figure reappeared at the end of the tunnel, pacing again. We kept all eight of our eyes on this figure. Out of nowhere, fucking A. Holy fuck. Holy fuck.
What just happened? Fuck.
So it came up and nosed to me, and it absolutely...
I could feel the fear.
Oh my god, my heart. Oh no. Okay. How am I gonna make it through the other ones?
Power through.
Okay. Sorry. Out of nowhere, the figure bolted towards our car. Doug quickly turned the car on and shoved it into drive. We raced as fast as possible out of the tunnel. So fast, I thought we would fly off the side of the mountain. Once we reached a safe distance away from this thing we just saw, we caught our breath and made sure that we were all okay and that we really just saw that. And of course, we all did. Unfortunately, we had to drive back through that creepy, dark tunnel to get back to the main road. I kept my eyes shut, not wanting to see the figure of the man again. After reaching safety, we drove to a close-by, brightly lit gas station to inspect any damage to the car. There, on the dusty trunk, lay the imprints of a man's hands. I will never forget this night, and I'm just glad nothing worse happened. However, I do wish I had caught this all on camera to show everyone what I had personally just experienced.
I wish she had too.
Me too. But then Jay also has told stories to me about that tunnel, because he went to college in Colorado, that people would put flour all over their cars and then go through. And they would have like handprints, like tiny little kid handprints on their cars. Like, yeah. So I might at some point have Jay record that this month, because he is so good at telling it.
Okay.
He's such a good storyteller. But yeah, so that is my scary story. And thank you to Sophie for scaring me to death.
Okay. Mine is called Who is Under the House, and it is by Wolfen 2020. Okay. In 1981, I moved to Fort Gibson, Oklahoma with my husband and four small children. My children were ages one of them was 4 years old, two of them were 3 years old, and one of them was 1 year and 6 months old. We moved into an older home with an acre yard that was completely fenced. This included the front yard. People had to come to the front gate and ring a bell so I could come out to the gate to meet whoever was there. The house was built up on blocks and had a huge front porch. It was a beautiful piece of property. We lived there for 5 years. Here's a little history of my town that you might find interesting. Fort Gibson was called the Graveyard of the West many, many years ago. It was said anywhere you walked that you would be stepping on a grave. There are many places in this town that are said to be haunted.
I feel like if you step foot without stepping on a grave, a majority of everything will be haunted. Streets, think, right? Houses. Yeah.
Yeah. I truly love this piece of land, and it was perfect for my family. It had two large paper shell pecan trees, two fairly large Granny Smith apple trees, and one sand plum tree. We loved the fact that it was large and shady. The house was totally fenced in and offered a wonderful place for my children and dog to play. The first year when the apples became ripe, my children would come running in with their little arms full of apples. They had asked me to bake an apple pie. This went on all apple season. Of course, I was more than happy to bake a pie for them. So when the pecans fell, they would bring those in too and ask for a pecan pie. One summer day, my oldest child came in with a huge bowl of strawberries that the neighbor had given him and asked me to bake a pie. He said, and I quote, "Mom, the people really want you to bake a pie because it smells so good." This stunned me for a moment because I was confused by this statement. Then I became worried. Our property backed up to an open field and some woods beyond. I thought maybe someone was coming to the back fence and talking to my children. I asked my son, "What people?" "Wait for it," he replied matter-of-factly, "the people that live under our house." To say the least, I was completely flabbergasted by this. I didn't really want to know, but I had to ask my child about how he knew that there were people under the house. He told me that when he and his siblings were out playing by one of the apple trees that was near our house, the people would start whispering to them to come over to the door access to under the house. They would then ask them to get me to bake a pie. I totally freaked out at this. I gathered up my children from outside. I told them to stay inside because I thought there was a skunk in our yard. I never lied to my children, but I felt that this was justified reason to do so. I got my German Shepherd coyote dog and went to the access door that went under the house, which I feel like that would be a very interesting breed.
But yeah, it would.
Anyways, I was so frightened, I suspected that a homeless person or persons were living under our house. I found nothing. Nothing. I'd set my dog under the house first. Let me tell you, if something was under there, she would have done her job. She came back wagging her tail. I crawled under the house to see if there was any sign of an interloper. Empty. Just pipes and dirt. I decided to question each child separately about the people under the house. Each one told the same story. I told my husband about the people under the house. He laughed and said our house or land was most likely haunted. Then the asking for pie because it smells so good was harmless. Besides, he remarked, "You do make some damn good pies." Many days after that, I would sit near the door, but no one ever whispered to me to bake a pie. Yet, the people under the house continued. What the heck was that?
Sorry.
I'm glad we are doing this in daytime. Oh, God.
Sorry. I accidentally pulled up TikTok on my phone. I was trying to get it to not do anything.
Yet the people under the house continued to whisper to my children when I wasn't around to fetch apples or pecans for me to bake pies because they smelled so good.
Mm-mm. Nope. Nope. Like, that's nope.
One time, Hunter was standing at our back door, you know, our back glass window that looks out to the back. And he was like, "Mom, can I play with those kids under our tree?" And I was like, no, you may not, because there's nobody there.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not kidding you. This was like in the mix of when everything was happening.
Haley.
Mm-hmm.
I'd burn everything to the ground. But that's just me.
Right?
Yeah, that's a big fat no. Nope, nope. Okay. The Reddit stories I'm doing are Happy Birthday Boo by Patton's Patented and The Farmer by Tucker 48. Okay. This first one, Happy Birthday Boo. We moved into a new house a few months ago. As we were in the process of purchasing the house, the renter who was living in it died unexpectedly of natural causes. He was in his mid-40s. He died right in the middle of the living room. Shortly after, we moved into the house, and almost immediately, our 2-year-old daughter starts talking about the ghost that lives in our new house. Now, let's be real here. She is 2, and 2-year-olds are very impressionable. Halloween had recently passed, and she had this Halloween-themed picture book that she loved to read. So it's entirely possible that all this talk of ghosts was just coming from looking through that book on a regular basis. Still, she was always telling me that the ghost was in her playhouse in the basement, or that the ghost was on the stairs, or that the ghost was standing in the corner. She never seemed to be afraid of the ghost and considered him to be her friend. So I wasn't all that concerned, even if there really was a ghost haunting our house. If he's nice and helpful ghost, it can certainly be a lot worse. I would often tell the ghost that he was welcome to stay if he wanted to, but he was also welcome to go if that would make him happier. I was about 30, 70 on the ghost being real, and she could see and talk to him versus the ghost being just her imagination fueled by her Halloween book. See, this dude's talking to his ghost. Until one day when we were going out of the car to go to daycare in the morning. It was still dark out and rainy. My daughter told me that the ghost was on the back deck and that she told me that today was a ghost birthday and she wanted to sing him happy birthday. Once again, I mostly disregarded what she was saying as she is birthday obsessed and has in the past made us sing happy birthday to Mickey Mouse, a bowl of fruit snacks, and the bathroom. So we sang and wished the ghost a happy birthday and went on with our lives. Later that day, out of pure curiosity, I looked up the obituary of the man who had died in our house. And wouldn't you know it, it was his fucking birthday.
Oh my God.
I fully believe that kids can see ghosts in a way that adults cannot.
Oh yeah, 100%.
Isn't that creepy?
I think kids who have seen ghosts as children are more likely to have stuff happen to them as adults.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. I don't think I ever saw a ghost, but I don't know.
Okay, my next one is called I Told It to Touch You by Wanna Be a Raider. I don't know really where to go with this. Anytime I try to tell someone this story, they end up looking at me like I'm simple or psychotic. Let alone trying to capture the whole series of events while still making sense, as well as doing a decent enough job at writing this to convey the emotions and intensity that were experienced at the time. But fuck it, I'll give it a try. To give some context, I was never a believer in the paranormal whatsoever. I simply thought it was all only a bunch of douchebags in black clothes, leather wristbands, and hair gel, going into abandoned places and staging events for ratings. However, after this particular night, as well as many other situations thereafter, I was a complete believer. The situation that I'm mainly posting about was my very first ever experience with something. I say something because I've never experienced something I couldn't see so angry. This occurred 8 years ago. It was around 10 p.m. on a December night, so it was colder. Me and my girlfriend at the time, rest in peace, were avid smokers, so we decided to take a cut ride. The usual routine would be me, her, and my best friend would roll a few blunts and spend a couple hours riding around the town and, well, getting smacked. So everything is going as planned. The cut ride is winding down and it's time to drop my friend off. As we're driving back towards where he lived, we're all silent, relaxed, and listening to music. As we're driving, I remember making a right-hand turn not far from my friend's house. Everything just sort of became extra quiet, if that makes sense. Then all of a sudden it was like something grabbed the back of my eyes and wouldn't let go. I remember it wasn't so much as a pull but a vibration. I didn't know what to think of it, so I chalked it up to, damn, this must be some strong shit. Eventually, we get to my friend's neighborhood and drop him off, say our goodbyes, and he hops out of the passenger seat. My girlfriend gets out of the back and moves into the front, and I can tell something is wrong just by the look on her face. After a long pause of looking at her, I said, are you okay? She just sat there, eventually lifting her head while looking at me with a panicked look on her face and said, did you feel it? I just looked at her confused and nervous and said, "What do you mean?" Then without missing a beat, said, "I told it to touch you."
What?
If you remember, after the cut ride, while driving my friend home, I had mentioned that I had made a right turn. Well, about a mile before that, my girlfriend, her exact words, felt something sitting next to her. She said it was something sad and lonely, then all of a sudden felt something touch her leg, like a grab. She then started testing it, telling it to grab her leg if you're really here, and it would do so. Keep in mind, it is quiet, and no one is saying shit except maybe me and my friend making the occasional comment about the artist or the song playing. So then apparently she thought she was losing her mind and eventually told it to touch me. Oh, and by the way, she's talking to it through her thoughts. Which obviously sounds insane, but she was not saying a word. It's about this time I notice the air feels really heavy, and I notice something is in the truck. As I was losing my cool, saying, "What the fuck do you mean you told it to touch me?" And as she is explaining the whole situation, I see a few strands of her hair come out to the side and move behind her ear, as if something just wanted to play with her and touch her out of interest. I start to freak out more, and then she tells me to stop, he doesn't like you. I was absolutely dumbfounded, mouth wide open. Then all of a sudden, three cop cars come speeding through, horns and light blaring. While freaking out, I asked if I should go. She quickly grabs her ears and starts screaming, "Yes, yes, yes," as if something was yelling in her ear. I live 30 minutes away, and for those 30 minutes back to where I was staying at the time, was so quiet. She wasn't saying anything, and I definitely wasn't saying much. But I could feel something hateful towards me, and she just seemed lost. I tried to take her mind off of it and stopped and got her favorite snacks and drinks to cheer her up. The night was awkward, not between me and her, but the fact that I felt she could see and talk to this thing, and I would always wondered if it was there, and if it was, would she tell me? The end.
Oh my gosh. So
yeah.
Was it a ghost or?
I mean, it had to have been. Isn't that weird?
That is weird. Okay, this one's called The Farmer. My mother-in-law was a very fun and cool woman. She and my wife were really close, and sadly, she passed away when our son was only about 4 months old. Flash forward a few years. We live in an old 1930s era craftsman house in Pasadena, California. Our son is about 3. I was giving him a bath one night, and he starts looking over my shoulder, not at random stuff, but at something. A moment passes, and he asks me why grandma calls mommy a funny name. Long pause. I asked him what he meant, thinking he was talking about my mom. He then says, "Why does grandma call mommy, bunch of asterisks, my mother-in-law's nickname for my wife?" I was really set back by this. My wife and I never used that nickname. It was just what her mom called her since she was a baby. I asked him where he heard that. His reply, "The farmer told me." I asked him who the farmer was, and he replied, "His friend." I tell my wife the story later, and she's of course reduced to tears over the whole nickname thing. We both know that there's no way for him to know this, and we kind of just marvel at it. Flash forward to the next weekend, and my son is playing in his room. My wife is at work, and I'm at home. I hear him start talking like he's having a conversation. He's saying things like, "Yes, no, I don't know that," and then some laughing. I go into his room and ask him what he's doing, and he's playing. I ask him with who. He says, "The farmer." At this point, I'm already thinking about the fucking Exorcist movie and Captain Howdy. It's a little unsettling. I ask him where the farmer is. He says he left when I came in. The fuck? So my wife gets home and I tell her this, and now she's just as weirded out as I am. We had no idea what to do and figure if it happens again, we'll do something. 2 days later, in the middle of the night, we both overhear our son saying the following: "Grandma says you and I can't be friends anymore." Wife and I go check on him, both of us a little freaked out. He's just sitting up in bed. I ask him if he's okay, and he says, "Yeah, grandma says I can't play with the farmer anymore." He never once mentioned the farmer again. Not ever. He's 13 now and doesn't remember any of it. We do, though. My deceased mother-in-law prevented a full-on exorcist-like thing in our home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Mine also happens. Well, My next one's called Farmstead Phantom.
Ooh.
By Carbonated Mulk.
I love
Excuse
people's
me.
Reddit names.
Okay. This story takes place in a farmstead in Ireland. The activity was particularly strong in the cabin, which they call a cow shed, a cabin. Really, I don't know when this started or what it is. However, I'm 80% sure, 87% sure it's demonic in nature. My family is very extremely Christian. The farmstead has had countless blessings in it and countless masses. The house itself was built on a famine trail. Basically, on the left side of the house in the living room, there's a trail. A trail people during the famine used to take to the shore to mass. A long time ago, there would be activity. Stuff ripped out from the walls, footsteps, voices, possibly apparitions. A step was put in outside so the spirits would take a different route around the house. So now it's ceased. But now I think something else has moved in, feeding off their energy. It first happened about 3 years ago. Late at night, I'd smell sulfur, hear rustling, nothing much. Then I would feel an unbearable feeling of terror. A burning sensation in my chest would rise up like heartburn around 3 a.m. I would squeeze my eyes shut because I felt if I opened them, I'd die. It was terrifying, and it would always take place from 3 to 4 a.m. That's the weak part. In the cow shed outside, it's even worse. There just is an oppressive feeling. Once I think I even saw something, crouched in the corner. There was nothing shadowy about it, nothing ghostly about it. It was solid. A woman, I think, back turned, crouched in the corner. I didn't see it first. I smelt it, like rotting flesh and sulfur. I'd gone in for my skateboard that was leaning against the wall. When I smelt that, I spun around, spying it in the far end of the cowshed, crouched near some farm tools. As soon as I saw it, I knew it saw me, even though it stayed turned the whole time. Just an oppressive feeling of guilt and terror. I felt unreasonably violent. I wanted to kill something. But all my feelings just faded, and I just felt numb, and I realized I was walking towards it. As soon as I realized it all bubbled up again, and I could hear screaming. So, so loud. I turned heel and ran, locking the door behind me and sprinting back inside. I've never felt anything like that before. It happened once. I've been back since, back in that cow shed since, though I still felt uneasy in there, and my dog always whimpers. Isn't that creepy?
Nope. No, ma'am. No, thank you.
I know. I would be like, that's like, what is that? Is it the exorcism of Emily Rose or whatever that happens in the barn?
I don't know. I haven't seen that in so long.
Me either. But
The Exorcist didn't scare me. Am I weird?
Really? I watched it when I was really young, so it like freaked me out. And I don't think
I watched it when I was older, and it just wasn't. I was like, meh, I mean, it's fine.
It's kind of cheesy now, but like, okay. I think it's the voice that gets me, like the demon voice coming out of a little girl that freaks me out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
And oh God, when she runs down the stairs.
Upside down?
Yeah, I don't do that.
Do you know who does that? Nick.
Ooh. Okay, well, I don't ever want to see him again in my life. Because that's too much for me.
He does it, freaked the girls out, Aunt Haley, one night.
Oh, I would have straight kicked him in the face. Hunter, the other day, I don't know if I told you this, but like I walked out to my garage, right? And I came back in and I was standing by my washing machine, which you can see down my hallway, like through my kitchen, down the hallway when you're standing in the laundry room. Mm-hmm. And Hunter, I knew, was in the living room because I had seen him before that, before I'd gone out in the garage, I had seen him in the living room. And so I'm sitting there on my washing machine and I see something out of the corner of my eye move and I like look and nothing was there. And I was like, okay. And then I look back to my washing machine and I just hear running down the hallway.
Nope.
And it's freaking Hunter running out of the bathroom at me. And I was like, you just scared the living crap out of me. He was like, next time, do you want me to crawl at you? And I was like, you do that and I will kick you down the hall. Like, I don't care who you are. Do not do that.
Oh my gosh.
Fun times over here. Well, that was fun. I'm like officially creeped out now, though.
Me too. Don't worry. I'm in a bright lit room and I keep looking behind me because I'm like, there's something.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, well, next week we will have my solo episode. I'm going to be covering the Black Eyed Children, which will be fun. And then we have some other fun stuff planned for October, including a bonus episode on Halloween, which we'll both be covering a case each for murders that happened on Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be fun.
Something for you to listen to while you're getting ready for your Halloween party.
Exactly.
Yes.
And then if you're not already, you can follow us on our socials. We are on Instagram at Dark and Deadly Pod, TikTok at Dark and Deadly Pod. And then don't forget to follow and like us on whatever platform that you use to listen to the podcast. And yeah, we hope everybody has a great week.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.